One day, two work colleagues were meeting for lunch. We could call them Bob and Tim, or we could call them Mary and Anne. It doesn't really matter. "How are you?" said Tim. "Never better," said Bob. "My ulcers are gone. I don't have a care in the world." "Gosh," says Tim, "how did that happen?" "Well, my doctor told me that my ulcers were caused by worrying. So I've hired myself a professional worrier. Now, whenever something worrying comes up, I send it to him. And he does all my worrying for me." "Gosh," says Tim, "I'd like to hire someone like that. How much does he charge?"
£100,000
a year." "Well, how on earth can you afford £100,000 a year?" "Oh, I don't know. I leave him to worry about that." Wouldn't it be great if we could just find someone to take all our worries away, to do all our worrying for us? The only trouble is, it isn't as easy as that. Anxiety, worry, fear for the future seem to be very much part of what it means to be human. In our reading from Matthew's Gospel this morning, we heard Jesus say, "Don't worry." In fact, the word worry comes up 6 times in just a few short sentences. Jesus tells us that worrying is a waste of time. Worrying never changes things. But Jesus doesn't just say, "Don't worry." He says, "Don't worry because you are loved by God, your Heavenly Father. Don't worry because God cares for you and knows what you need." Well, maybe that all sounds a bit naive. I guess most of us here today don't have to worry too much about having something to eat or having some clothes to put on. And so our worrying has become rather more complicated. We worry about money, about our jobs and careers, about our families, how the children are doing at school, about our health, our looks, our weight, signs of aging. We worry about prices, about crime and violence, about terrorism, about the recession, about our pensions. And of course, all of those things matter. But as Jesus astutely identifies, the problem is that very often we worry about things which will either never happen or over which we have no control. "Which of you," says Jesus, "by worrying can add a single hour to your span of life?" We know the truth of that only too well. Worrying about how long we live won't make any difference. Or if anything, it's more likely to shorten our lives or make the time we do have to live unhappy. And that's the case with a lot of the things we worry about. Now, Jesus doesn't promise that our lives will be trouble-free. If anything, he promises the opposite. He says again and again in the New Testament that following him will at times be tough and challenging. And I want to say also that Jesus isn't, I don't think, telling us not to plan. He's not suggesting we have that sort of laid-back, whatever attitude to life, which is effectively irresponsible. He's not telling us to live in some unreal world where bills never have to be paid and where our professional worrier can take care of his own salary. But the real opposite of worry, fear, and anxiety isn't irresponsibility, but faith, or perhaps better, trust. Just as George trusts his parents to care for him, so we're called to trust in the love and care of God. Perhaps especially in those times when the worries of life seem to overwhelm us. To trust God to give us the strength and the wisdom to deal with those situations where we can actually change something. But in those other situations where actually we can't change anything, to be able to give those things to God in faith and to trust him. Now, of course, not worrying isn't easy, is it? I don't suppose any of us had to learn to worry, go to a set of classes on how you can worry better. I guess that George doesn't worry about too much at the moment. But as he grows up, no one will need to teach him how to worry. Sadly, it's something that comes all too naturally to most of us. And in contrast, learning to trust God, learning to give him the things that make us anxious, is something we need to learn and keep learning for the whole of our lives. So how might we worry less and trust more? Well, it seems to me that Jesus offers us two suggested antidotes to worry. Firstly, he challenges us to live in the present. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. He challenges us to live instead with the issues and concerns of today, rather than worrying about what might or might not happen tomorrow or next week. The Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard once defined anxiety as tomorrow. We don't know what will happen tomorrow, and so that creates anxiety today. And he says, if we're not careful, we spend today thinking about what might go wrong tomorrow, and because those possible things are infinite, we end up always being anxious about something and never actually being able to enjoy today. In contrast, to live without anxiety is to live fully in today. Because in a sense, of course, today is all we ever have. This present moment, sitting here in St. Mary's in Mortlake, is the moment we have. And if we don't cherish it, if we don't make the most of it, if we're constantly looking at what might happen, then actually we don't enjoy today at all. Of course, today may well bring problems that we need to deal with. Yet, of course, making sensible plans for the future is wise. But Jesus calls us not to let the future and its anxieties steal the present from us. Don't let the worries of tomorrow blight the gift of today. And then the second thing that I think Jesus challenges us to do is to turn our attention from ourselves out to other people. Strive first, he says, for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, in our rather I-centered culture, I think we've tended to interpret Jesus' words individually, as if when Jesus talks about righteousness, he's talking merely about personal morality. As if when he talks about heaven, he's talking about, or when he talks about the kingdom, he's talking about some sort of individual ticket to heaven. But actually, Jesus is talking about something much bigger than us as individuals trying to keep our hands clean, something much more profound than a future hope of heaven. Here, as in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about transformation of society, about building a new community, about God's kingdom on earth now, as we pray week by week in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. And so I think we get closer to Jesus' meaning if we talk not about personal morality, but about social justice. If we think less about keeping our hands clean and more about rolling up our sleeves to make our world a better place. Work, says Jesus, for a world that looks more like the kingdom of heaven, a world in which there's justice for all. And if you do that, You may actually find that your own worries get sorted out along the way. Or maybe at the very least, you'll put them into perspective. And if transforming society, if changing the world, if building the kingdom of heaven seems a bit overwhelming, then it's good to remember Mother Teresa's advice. If you can't feed 100 people, then feed just one. No, we can't solve world poverty here in St. Mary's. But we could make sure that we give donations to the food bank. We could write to our MP about the scandal of people who work but find that on the minimum wage they still can't afford to feed their children. We could get involved with the Mortlake Community Association or one of the many other groups who work to help people on the margins of our society. Strive first, says Jesus, for God's kingdom and his righteousness. And then actually, you may find that your worries weren't so important after all. And so perhaps this morning, as we come up to communion or for a prayer of blessing, you might like to take those two thoughts to heart and ask God to help us to live more fully in the present, to really make the most of today. And then as we go out from here into a new working week, to be those who begin to build God's kingdom. Oh, maybe only one or two bricks here and there, but to be those who make a difference. Our hymn writer said, breathe through the heats of our desire thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire. Speak through the earthquake, wind and fire, O still small voice of calm. With all the stresses and worries of anxiety and anxieties that we may face this week, may we also hear the voice of God speaking his peace and his calm. Amen.